I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
A good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you for another hour here this evening on Camo X. Thanks for staying up late with us. As I mentioned right before the break, I don't have any interviews this hour. If there's something on your mind, give us a call, 314-436-7900. I've got more than enough news and funny things to talk about for the next hour. But as I often like to say in this time slot, this is what makes AM radio completely unique from any other form of media, is that you get to participate. You can drive the content of the show. You can participate in where it goes, the direction that it takes. You can't do that with a podcast. You can't do that watching TV. This truly is the only medium for that to happen, which is why I enjoy it so much. 314-436-7900. At the top of last hour at 8 o'clock, usually in the first segment, I like to talk about something that's kind of light and not all that heavy because it's always a short segment. But what as I was reading something during the break, and at the top of the last hour, I mentioned that today's International Women's Day. But what I just read during the break, this isn't something I even prepped for the show. I just saw it. But to me, it's astoundingly funny and yet tragic at the same time. And that is that today, in honor of International Women's Day, and this sounds like a joke. I am not making this up. First Lady Jill Biden actually gave the Women of Courage Award to a transgender person. So She gives this, Jill Biden gives this award for Women of Courage. I'm going to give you an award on International Women's Day, and she gives it to someone who's not even a woman. And to me, it's outrageous that this stuff, that it's like the emperor has no clothes. Everyone just kind of goes along with it, and no one can stand up and say, I'm very sorry, if you want to dress like a woman, you have the absolute freedom and right to do so. And you don't have the, and don't, others don't have the right to discriminate against you. But you can't force me to acknowledge what doesn't exist. Your chromosomes and your DNA prove you to be a man. And just because you wear lipstick and a wig doesn't mean I have to call you ma'am. It doesn't mean that at all. And yet no one will stand up and say the emperor has no clothes. That's why during the hearings for now Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and a senator asked her Judge, what is a woman? What is a woman? And the judge laughed and she smiled and she said, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I'm not a biologist. You don't have to be a biologist to answer that question. All you need is a simple blood test to answer that question. And yet no one will stand up, certainly not in the Democrat side of politics, will stand up to Jill Biden and say, I'm sorry. If you want to give this cross-dressing man an award for courage, by all means, do that. But you don't do it on International Women's Day. And then this was her line. As Dr. Jill Biden gives this award to a man who identifies as a woman, here's what she said. She said, and I'm quoting, up your game, ladies. Up your game, ladies. In other words, you need to be doing better, ladies, like this man who dresses like a woman. Then to me, I'm like, whoa, that's like the worst thing she could say, because the only way you're going to up your game is if you change your DNA. When Leah Thomas was competing in the sporting events in swimming, and she starts winning these awards, and people just think it's okay. And I'm thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Next year, you're familiar with the Tour de France, that big bicycle race in France. Next year, I'm going to buy a Harley. I'm going to buy a Harley Davidson, and I'm going to self-identify as a bicyclist, and I'm going to go win the Tour de France. I'm going to say, hey, look, I self-identify as a bicyclist, and by the way, I'm passing you at 90 miles an hour on your bicycle going a measly 30 miles an hour. I'm going to win next year's Tour de France. And when I do it, I'm going to self-identify as a bicyclist. And I don't know if I'll get any coverage for that, but by golly, I would like to try. And so to me, it's outrageous that doctor, because Jill Biden's a doctor. In fact, you remember during the election on The View, I don't watch The View, okay? I work for a living. I can't watch The View during the day. But I do see clips from The View. And during the election, I saw this video clip of Whoopi Goldberg, who was saying on The View, oh, Dr. Jill Biden, she's a wonderful physician. Well, she's not a physician, Whoopi. It's a PhD. She has a PhD in education, I think. So if she's performing lateral epicondylectomies on the side, we need to contact the American Medical Association, because I don't think PhDs are doing surgery these days. But if anyone should know, if Whoopi Goldberg thinks you have to be a doctor to know if someone's a male or a female, then Dr. Jill Biden should know the difference. But apparently she doesn't, because she gives an award to a man on International Women's Day. You can't make this up. You cannot make this stuff up. Hey, coming up in the next segment, I'm going to break down the Alec Murdoch decision here from the jury. And I'm just going to highlight some of the evidence, because one of the topics that I always find fascinating, interesting, and compelling is how technology changes our lives in ways that we cannot envision. And there's no place where that's can be more easily seen than in the courtroom. And Alec Murdoch was convicted by technology, folks. And I'll break that down for you next, at your service. Don't go away.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I don't know if you caught the bumper music coming out of the last segment, but here I am talking about transgender issues, and Matt Pajeski goes out with Steven Tyler, Aerosmith, Dude Looks Like a Lady. That was magnificent, my friend. Well done. Last week, we've all been covering, the whole country has been covering this and following the Alec Murdoch case. And rightfully so. It's got all of the elements of a fantastically compelling story. You've got a well-to-do, financially successful, at least on outward appearances, attorney in South Carolina, plaintiff's attorney. He has a dynasty. It was a several generations of a powerful law firm in an area of South Carolina where his name meant something. I mean, it's not exactly the same as saying that your name is like Augie Bush or something. It's not quite that. But it's close. It's close. And yet, as we got into this case, we learned that it was all a fraud, that he was not financially successful, that he had been stealing money from clients, that he had perhaps even killed other people in addition to killing his wife and his son. And so this compelling case goes to trial, and the jury comes back in 3 hours. But what was interesting to me was, and I discussed this a little bit earlier in the show, this was all circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence meaning there was no forensic evidence that placed him at the scene in terms of a fingerprint, blood splatter. There was no eyewitness to the crime. But yet there was an eyewitness. And this is what I find interesting about where we are from a technology standpoint, because there was a witness. What convicted Alec Murdoch of murder was the phone of his murdered son. That's what convicted him. And some of the evidence, as I was going through this last weekend, that really didn't get much coverage in the mainstream media, to me, I thought this was so compelling that I just had to share this with you. Because the first element that brought out, this is probably what got the most amount of attention, is that Alec Murdoch maintained for 2 years that he was nowhere close to the dog kennels at the time that his wife and son were murdered. That he was in the main house, he was taking a nap, he was nowhere close. And yet, it was the cell phone video that his son took that had Alec Murdoch's voice placing him at the kennels at the exact time the murders took place. And so after almost 2 years of repeated lies, I was nowhere near the kennels. I was nowhere near the kennels. Now there was forensic evidence from an audio from a video shot with a cell phone placing Alec Murdoch at the place, at the scene of the crime. That's the first element of creating something that we used to call circumstantial evidence, but I think in the 21st century is becoming direct evidence, and that is technology. The second thing that I think is interesting here is this. One of the things that we know is that if you have like a Fitbit or one of these fitness trackers, that those fitness trackers can follow you and track you wherever you are. So there was a case a couple of years ago out of, I believe it was Arkansas, where a guy was, the police came into his house. He was tied to a chair, loosely tied to a chair, and he claimed that somebody came in and kidnapped his wife. And they found the wife back in a creek, and she was dead. And yet what the evidence ultimately showed is because this guy was wearing a Fitbit, they had the Fitbit evidence of him carrying his wife to the creek, killing her at the creek, and then coming back from the creek to tie himself up in a chair. Okay, the guy's not obviously not a Mensa candidate, right? But yet that was the first case that I remember seeing where forensic evidence, where circumstantial forensic evidence becomes direct evidence. First time I saw that. We have that here. We have that with Alec Murdoch because one of the things that your phone does is that it logs it logs a piece of data on your phone when your phone changes from portrait to landscape mode. What do I mean by that? If you pick up your phone, if you got an iPhone or an Android phone, it doesn't really matter. It's a rectangle, right? And if you pick it up where the rectangle is more vertical, that's called portrait mode. And if you turn it sideways, like you want to watch a video and get it bigger, at that point, it's landscape mode. Your phone logs every time your phone changes from portrait mode to landscape mode. It logs that as a piece of information. So one of the other elements that was not discussed anywhere that I could find until I was reading about it this weekend was that after Alec Murdoch's wife was killed, after she was shot and killed, her phone was picked up and moved. Not only was it picked up and moved, but it changed from portrait mode to landscape mode. Now, why did it do that? It did that at the exact same moment that Alec Murdoch pulled his phone out of his pocket and called his wife's phone in order to create an alibi. So now not only do you have the video that's got his voice on it that places him at the kennel, you have a dead woman's phone that has been picked up and handled and changed from portrait to landscape mode after she was already dead. At least the last time I checked, dead people don't use phones. So it had to be obviously Alec Murdoch that did that. But he did it to make sure, and it really doesn't make any sense. It shows you he wasn't really that good of an attorney, all right? He's not a very bright guy. But he wanted to check and see to make sure that he was calling his wife's phone in order to leave a message that would become his alibi. And that didn't work. But then there was another piece of evidence that I thought was fascinating that wasn't discussed anywhere. And that's this. The police investigators found the wife's phone thrown in the woods. But what's interesting is that at the time that Alec Murdoch claimed he was still taking a nap, his phone records showed that he got into his car, that he drove at a high rate of speed because it tracks how fast you're going, and yet he slowed his car down at the exact location where the phone was thrown out of his car and landed in the woods. So the police could match up where he slowed the vehicle down to the exact location where the phone was disposed of. So to me, when we hear this term that is circumstantial evidence that convicted him, it may have been. I mean, it wasn't an eyewitness. It wasn't a fingerprint. There was no blood splatters. But it was circumstantial evidence that became direct evidence. One more piece here, and then we'll move on. The video that was shot, another piece of video shot by his deceased son, murdered son, showed Alec Murdoch wearing a certain type of clothing. He was wearing, I believe, a blue shirt and khakis. And that video was shot just a few hours before the wife and son were murdered. He was out, I believe he was out cutting a tree or trying to pull a tree out of the ground, something very benign that Alec Murdoch was doing. And yet, when the police arrived at the scene and came to see Alec Murdoch, he was wearing a completely different set of clothing. So the idea being is that when he killed his wife and he killed his son, obviously you can't kill anyone today without getting some sort of microscopic blood splatter on your clothing. So he either washed that off or he disposed of the clothing, but he had to completely change his clothes. And yet, once again, there was direct forensic electronic digital evidence showing the clothing that he was wearing before the murder and showing the clothing that he was wearing after the murders, and the clothing didn't match. And so when you look at this case and you compare it to, say, the case where the guy killed the four college girls in Idaho, that case was also, although not 100%, there was some direct evidence found at the scene, the knife sheath that belonged to the defendant was found at the scene, and then there's some dog hair was found at his house in Pennsylvania. So there was some direct evidence there. But the vast majority of that evidence, and make no mistake about it, he will be convicted. The question is, does he get the death penalty or does he serve life in prison? Those are the only two options here. But in that case, he too was, the crime was solved by technology. And so we have this, especially if you're, you know, you're a middle-aged person like me. I mean, I grew up in the 70s where I was watching Columbo, and it was always this, you know, smart guy who had to figure out and put all the pieces together. I'm not trying to diminish that. What I'm saying is that today we still have smart people figuring out crimes, but the technology that's available is overwhelming. And it's not just that it's overwhelming, but that most of us don't realize what that technology does, how we're never away from it. My kids, you know, they just don't even worry about privacy problems because their attitude is, there's no privacy today anyway. That's why they don't care about TikTok. I'll be talking about that before the show's over as well. But I don't think most Americans understand the length, the breadth, and the depth of how our technology tracks us, records our data, and can later be used to piece together every move that we've done, every place that we've been, everything that we have been involved with. It's truly an amazing development and an evolution of crime technology that simply didn't exist a generation ago. Does that concern you? Does that bother you that phone that you've got in your pocket that you want to, you know, sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace is tracking your every move? Does that concern you at all? Or do you just take it for granted like a 20-something and say, yeah, we got no privacy. Who cares? Let's get back to watching the Cardinals. I mean, is that your perspective? Let me know what you think. 314-436-7900. Open phones at your service. KMOX. Well, are you troubled by the fact that technology can put you in prison? Is that a problem? Is that a concern for you? Or do you simply not care? 314-436-7900. Call or text. We've got a lot of texts in this evening. I try to always respond to texts during the show, during the break, rather. Sometimes I can't keep up, but I appreciate your texts, appreciate your calls, and of course, appreciate you listening here on Camo X. Barbara's been holding through the break. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. What really got the Alex convicted was his story kept changing. If something happens and a traumatic situation happens where two people are murdered, the story should be the same. What happened should be the truth, and it should never change. It will be like a broken record that you'll keep saying the same thing over and over, and you get tired of hearing the same thing that happened. And that's how you know that, you know, it's the truth, you know.
Didn't we learn that from our parents when we were little? I mean, tell the truth, stick with the truth. I mean, that's an enduring piece of wisdom that too many people just forget to follow.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know why his story kept changing, if he was covering up for somebody or if he really did the murders.
Well, Barbara, his story changed, and I literally have no doubt about this. His story changed because if he told the truth, he would have been in prison 2 years ago because he did it. I mean, the evidence shows that he did it. He was convicted of it. The forensic digital fingerprints prove that he did it. And so he had to tell a lie. But this is one of those circumstances, Barbara, where it really should have been, from his perspective, I don't want to talk about it. This is too traumatic. I'm not going to discuss it. But he thought he was too smart. He thought he was a very smart attorney, and he thought that he was the smartest person in the room, and he thought he could fool all the police, the judges, the prosecutors, and a jury. And it turns out the only person that he fooled was himself.
That's true. And, you know, there was a lady, she was she didn't kill anybody, and she was the first person that got hung in the state of Missouri. And basically she said the same story over and over again. She didn't even know the guy. And basically the story did come out later on that somebody else murdered the guy. The guy on his deathbed said he murdered the guy. But the story never changed. She even said, when they took her to the gallows, that she did not murder this person.
Well, and it may be an example, Barbara, of an innocent person who was wrongfully convicted. So her story could say the same because it was the truth. But with Alec Murdoch's situation, his story changed because he was a liar, pants on fire. I mean, that's the reason why his story had to change. And yet, you know, again, we just forget those enduring truths that we learn as children, and I'm glad that you haven't forgotten that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, sure, Barbara. Love talking to you. Call anytime.
Okay, bye.
I've been getting a lot of texts in here, and I'll have to try to catch up with you during the break because I always respond to texts and emails. If you ever like to send me an email, again, my email address, byoung@harrisdowell.com. That's Harris, as in Sam, D as in David, Owell. I got to tell you, this was even before I went to law school. I had this secret wish. And when I tell it to you, you're going to say, my goodness, Brad is a strange, weird little man, and he has my pity. But this is what I always wanted, because whenever I would be driving, and I would see the cops in the middle of the lane on a highway pulling people over, right? And I would always, still to this day, I'll flash my lights at the oncoming traffic to let people know that, hey, there's a cop ahead, you better slow down. And I can remember one point, I was very young, my wife, we just got married, and I think my wife said something to me about, you know, you could get arrested for doing that. And I just remember saying, oh, I wish I would. I so wish that I would get pulled over and arrested for warning people about a police sting operation for speeders, because talk about your quintessential First Amendment case. You are arresting me for speaking. You are, Mr. Police Officer, arresting me based upon the words I am saying. Is that what you're doing? And of course, that's exactly what we're doing. The reason why I bring this up is there was a case, and I just wish this would have been me. That's my only regret here. But a guy was arrested in Connecticut. What happened was he went a little further than I do. He was arrested in 2018, and what he did was he found a speed trap in Connecticut, and he made a sign, you know, Sharpie and a cardboard, and he holds up this sign that says "Cops ahead" near a police checkpoint. And the cop, I love this story. So the cops come and they arrest him, right? They come up to him. They say, you can't do this. He says he can. And the cops steal his sign. They don't arrest him at first, but they steal his sign that says "Cops ahead." And they tell him, go away and stop doing this. So what he does is he gets a bigger piece of cardboard and he writes it in bigger letters, "Cops ahead," and he goes to a different spot, still prior to where the sting operation was going on. So then the cops come, they confiscate his sign, and they arrest him for obstruction of justice. And the case goes up to the district court, where he was found guilty of obstruction of justice. Guilty for just speaking words. He was found guilty of a crime. Apparently, the judge there missed the whole First Amendment thing when he or she went to law school. Just, you know, we just started with the Third Amendment and skipped the First and Second, I guess. But it goes up on appeal. The decision came down just last week, and they reversed that decision.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Well, are you troubled by the fact that technology can put you in prison? Is that a problem? Is that a concern for you? Or do you simply not care? 314-436-7900. Call or text. We've got a lot of texts in this evening. I try to always respond to texts during the show, during the break, rather. Sometimes I can't keep up, but I appreciate your texts, appreciate your calls, and of course, appreciate you listening here on Camo X. Barbara's been holding through the break. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. What really got the Alex convicted was his story kept changing. If something happens and a traumatic situation happens where two people are murdered, the story should be the same. What happened should be the truth, and it should never change. It will be like a broken record that you'll keep saying the same thing over and over, and you get tired of hearing the same thing that happened. And that's how you know that, you know, it's the truth, you know.
Didn't we learn that from our parents when we were little? I mean, tell the truth, stick with the truth. I mean, that's an enduring piece of wisdom that too many people just forget to follow.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know why his story kept changing, if he was covering up for somebody or if he really did the murders.
Well, Barbara, his story changed, and I literally have no doubt about this. His story changed because if he told the truth, he would have been in prison 2 years ago because he did it. I mean, the evidence shows that he did it. He was convicted of it. The forensic digital fingerprints prove that he did it. And so he had to tell a lie. But this is one of those circumstances, Barbara, where it really should have been, from his perspective, I don't want to talk about it. This is too traumatic. I'm not going to discuss it. But he thought he was too smart. He thought he was a very smart attorney, and he thought that he was the smartest person in the room, and he thought he could fool all the police, the judges, the prosecutors, and a jury. And it turns out the only person that he fooled was himself.
That's true. And, you know, there was a lady, she was she didn't kill anybody, and she was the first person that got hung in the state of Missouri. And basically she said the same story over and over again. She didn't even know the guy. And basically the story did come out later on that somebody else murdered the guy. The guy on his deathbed said he murdered the guy. But the story never changed. She even said when they took her to the gallows that she did not murder this person.
Well, and it may be an example, Barbara, of an innocent person who was wrongfully convicted. So her story could say the same because it was the truth. But with Alec Murdoch's situation, his story changed because he was a liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, that's the reason why his story had to change. And yet, you know, again, we just forget those enduring truths that we learn as children. And I'm glad that you haven't forgotten that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, sure, Barbara. Love talking to you. Call anytime.
Okay, bye.
I've been getting a lot of texts in here, and I'll have to try to catch up with you during the break because I always respond to texts and emails. If you ever like to send me an email, again, my email address, byoung@harrisdowell.com. That's H-A-R-R-I-S, as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L. I got to tell you, this was even before I went to law school. I had this secret wish. And when I tell it to you, you're going to say, my goodness, Brad is a strange, weird little man, and he has my pity. But this is what I always wanted, because whenever I would be driving and I would see the cops in the middle of the lane on a highway pulling people over, right? And I would always, still to this day, I'll flash my lights at the oncoming traffic to let people know that, hey, there's a cop ahead, you better slow down. And I can remember one point, I was very young. My wife, we just got married, and I think my wife said something to me about, you know, you could get arrested for doing that. And I just remember saying, oh, I wish I would. I so wish that I would get pulled over and arrested for warning people about a police sting operation for speeders. Because talk about your quintessential First Amendment case. You are arresting me for speaking. You are, Mr. Police Officer, arresting me based upon the words I am saying. Is that what you're doing? And, of course, that's exactly what we're doing. The reason why I bring this up is there was a case, and I love it. I just wish this would have been me. That's my only regret here. But a guy was arrested in Connecticut. What happened was he went a little further than I do. He was arrested in 2018. And what he did was he found a speed trap in Connecticut, and he made a sign, you know, Sharpie and a cardboard. And he holds up this sign that says cops ahead near a police checkpoint. And the guy, I love this story. So the cops come and they arrest him, right? They come up to him. They say, you can't do this. He says he can. And the cops steal his sign. They don't arrest him at first, but they steal his sign that says cops ahead, and they tell him, go away and stop doing this. So what he does is he gets a bigger piece of cardboard, and he writes it in bigger letters, cops ahead, and he goes to a different spot still prior to where the sting operation was going on. So then the cops come, they confiscate his sign, and they arrest him for obstruction of justice. And the case goes up to the district court, where he was found guilty of obstruction of justice. Guilty for just speaking words. He was found guilty of a crime. Apparently, the judge there missed the whole First Amendment thing when he or she went to law school. Just, you know, we just started with the Third Amendment and skipped the First and Second, I guess. But it goes up on appeal. The decision came down just last week, and they reversed that decision, found him not guilty, And now they're going to see whether or not he can successfully sue based upon the violation of his civil rights for being arrested for doing nothing more than giving an opinion that says cops ahead. It was true. It was a true statement. And I'm glad that he litigated this. But what's interesting is I read the decision from the court in Connecticut. And in that decision, the Court of Appeals quoted from a 1987 Supreme Court ruling in Houston that said, and I'm quoting here, "The freedom of individuals verbally to oppose or challenge police action without the risk of arrest is one of the principal characteristics by which we distinguish a free nation from a police state." So that's exactly right. But I'm looking at a text, and I got a text from someone that says, "Dude, I'm a cop, and that light flashing is terrible for safety." Well, okay, all right, you got me. All right, maybe that is terrible for safety, but there's nothing wrong with warning people to slow down. That's really, aren't I actually doing a public service? If you want to flip it around, the cop is in the middle lane to force you to slow down. So when I flash my headlights at the oncoming traffic, aren't I doing the exact same thing that the police officer is doing, which is forcing drivers to drive more slowly? So in that sense, I'm really doing a public service is what I'm doing. I shouldn't be arrested for warning that there's a cops ahead. I should be given a medal and an award is what I should be given. So, okay, I'm flipping that around a little too much. But and then someone else texted in and said, "Yes, you could be warning a real bad guy of law enforcement, helping them to evade capture." Well, they're speeding, okay? If you're doing 62 and a 55, are you really a bad guy evading capture? No, you're just late to pick up your girlfriend for dinner, and if you don't get there on time, she's going to be mad at you the entire evening. That is not a crime. So I have to disagree with you on that one. But I just, to me, and I've talked about freedom of speech so often on this show, because to me, it is the bedrock of our society. And if you are an individual who then goes and interferes with the police, if you interfere with what the police are doing, that is obstruction of justice. But speaking words is not an interference. If you block the cops, if you run from the cops, if you interfere with the police doing their job, yes, you are obstructing justice. But speaking words that say cops ahead is not interfering with police activities. It's not obstruction of justice. It's an exercise of your First Amendment rights. You know, there was a case, I've talked about this often on the show, from the 1970s, where the American Civil Liberties Union represented an individual who was a racist Ku Klux Klan member, and he wanted to protest in the city of Skokie, Illinois, which is a primarily Jewish community. And he wanted to espouse his racist, his heinous beliefs that Jews are somehow not human. And he was arrested for that. And the ACLU represented him. And the ACLU said, we could not disagree with him more. I think his lawyer was actually Jewish, by the way. I don't remember that specifically, but I'm 62.4% sure. So in this instance, though, the ACLU's position was, even though we disagree with what he's saying, we will always uphold a person's right to say it. And I feel the same way. I mean, even though this guy is racist, this guy was a bigot, and he was saying hateful things, the ability to control speech you don't like is the same ability to control speech that can be used for political purposes. And we've seen it done right now. We've seen how social media can squelch conservatives online and even squelch any discussion of the origins of COVID-19, even though now that's the prevailing view of the United States government, that COVID came from a lab leak in Wuhan, China. And yet, I personally got a show, I was doing a show on another radio station, and we were live streaming on YouTube. We were kicked off because I mentioned something about this could come from a lab leak. We got kicked off. So that's censorship. And we know from Elon Musk and Twitter files that the FBI and the federal government, the White House, was actively involved, even paid $3.5 million to Twitter to be involved in order to censor speech online. So I don't care. I don't care that the speech is something I agree with or don't agree with. That's what the First Amendment says. And that Mr. Police Officer, and listen, I've got a high regard for police. I truly do. So he texted back in and said, that speeder could be a revoked driver and have warrants or worse. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. He could have those things. But it doesn't change the fact that I have the right to speak according to the First Amendment. Doesn't change any of that in this instance. But in any event, I think the court's attempt to prosecute people for warning speeders are hopefully behind us. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk to you about U.S. senators unveiling a bipartisan bill to ban TikTok. And it may sound funny, Brad, you just talked about the freedom of speech, but now you're going to talk about banning TikTok. What's the difference? Stick around after this break, and I'll explain it. At your service, Brad Young. Don't go away. Well, we are rolling in for the last segment here on Camo X on At Your Service, and hopefully we're not breaking the speed limit as we do that, because we don't want to violate the law. One of the things, speaking of laws, we've got action both in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City because, of course, newsman extraordinaire Sean Michael Lyle just came in and filled me in on something I wasn't aware of, how we've got bills that are very similar being introduced both in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City regarding TikTok. So I'm going to start with the one in D.C., because I find this a fascinating example of how something that seems similar is actually different. What do I mean? There was a dozen U.S. senators unveiled a bipartisan bill yesterday that would really essentially give the president, whether that's President Biden or any future president, the legal authority to ban any type of social media platform that raises national security risks. And the national security risks with TikTok are immense. They're truly immense. The ability for TikTok to get private information, location of your, where you are, track your location, get information that's on your phone, like banking information, social security number, date of birth, where your banks are located, stocks and bonds, and all the information that you keep on our phone, TikTok potentially could be giving all of that information to the Chinese government. And there have been many states, including Missouri, that has banned any of TikTok from any devices that are state-owned or government-owned. But now in Washington, and I'll talk about the one in Jeff City in a moment, are going to that next step of saying, not only will we ban the use of TikTok on government-owned devices, but we want to empower the president to literally ban the platform if it amounts to a national security risk, which I think TikTok is a national security risk. So this is a bipartisan bill, and I couldn't find any indication as to whether the White House has indicated whether they will sign it or not, but it still has to get through the House. It has to get through the Senate. That still could be a long process. As I was talking about this today with a friend of mine, he raised the point. He said, well, Brad, you're such a vocal proponent of free speech. And Brad, you have come out against all of the censorship that's occurred on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and elsewhere. How can you be for something like this? And I thought that was an interesting point, because I am a zealous free speech advocate, regardless of what that speech is, whether it's to the right or to the left, or to the extremes on either side. I like the marketplace of ideas. But in this instance, how can you have that belief and yet be supporting of a ban on TikTok? But here's the difference. And this difference, I think, is significant. If you look at the censorship that's occurred on social media over the past 2 years, again, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, not TikTok, but Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and elsewhere. That type of censorship is content-based. In other words, if you were espousing the lab leak theory, you are kicked off because the left said that could not happen. And so we're going to kick you off for espousing an opinion that is contrary to our opinion. If you make a statement about masks and saying, well, I'm not sure that masks actually do anything. The coronavirus is smaller than the size of the mask. So doesn't that mean the coronavirus gets through the mask and isn't blocked by the mask? If you would have espoused that 2 years ago, again, you're kicked off of social media. But if you go on and say, well, I believe that schools should be shut down because of COVID. I believe that people should have forced vaccinations to prevent them from getting COVID. And I think that renters should be prevented from kicking people out of their homes, even if they don't pay the rent because of COVID. All of those things proved to be false, every single one of them. But if you said those things, you weren't censored on social media. So it was a content-based censorship. But what's going on right now with TikTok isn't content-based. It's not like the bill says, you know what, if you're doing a dance video to a Taylor Swift song, we're going to ban it. We're going to ban it because we hate Taylor Swift, and by golly, if you dance to a Taylor Swift song, you're out of here. We're going to ban that from TikTok. No, that's not going on. There's no content-based censorship that's being proposed. What's being proposed is that we can't allow a national security risk to be walking around on the devices that we carry in our pockets every single day. And so as long as it's not content-based, I don't see a First Amendment problem with that. Because you still have the freedom. You can still shoot some stupid video of you dancing to some song that nobody cares about, and you can still post it on YouTube. So it isn't as if your speech is being squelched. You still have that opportunity to express that idea. The only thing that's being prevented by banning TikTok is the stealing of your data and the transference of information to a foreign hostile government that could use it against you in particular and the United States in general. So I don't see it as being anywhere close to being the same thing when you talk about banning TikTok and preventing other social media platforms from conducting censorship that is based on the content of your speech. I don't see those as being the same in any way. And perhaps you disagree. I'm not sure that we have a lot of time for phone calls here, but if you'd like to text in, I will certainly like to hear your opinions on that. 314-436-7900. Now, I did get a couple of texts from Mary Lynn. Thank you, Mary Lynn, saying we should ban TikTok and China should pay for what they did. And I'm presuming by that, Mary Lynn, you're talking about pay for what they did with regard to letting COVID leak from the lab in Wuhan, China. I think they should, too. But I don't know of any legitimate legal mechanism for making China pay. Josh Hawley, I believe. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Josh Hawley. It's our current senator from Missouri who filed when he was the attorney general. He filed a lawsuit against China and tried to sue them through The Hague, I think. But that was doomed to fail because there's no way for one country to sue another in a circumstance like this. It's just not allowed. And I believe that was more done for political purposes than for legal purposes. But when I've had this conversation with my daughters, I've got three daughters, and when I've had this conversation with them about, because they all love TikTok, they all use it, they all watch their friends, and then they're going down the road and they're taking videos of themselves making stupid faces in the camera, and then they share it with all their friends. Okay, fine. You want to do that all day long? Fine. Knock yourself out. But when I tell them about the potential privacy issues with TikTok, they don't care. Because their attitude is, you know, listen, I got no money, I got no job, who wants my data? But it's not about the content of your data. It's about the ability to take it. And that, to me, is what's concerning. So in Jefferson City, a similar bill is being filed today that would also allow the governor potentially to ban TikTok. I hope those are successful. because your data is private and people shouldn't have it unless you allow it. And people are using TikTok shouldn't have their data stolen. Hey, coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got the best of Dave Glover. I'll talk to you next week right here on Camo X, Brad Young. We are rolling in for the last segment here on Camo X on At Your Service. And hopefully we're not breaking the speed limit as we do that, because we don't want to violate the law. One of the things, speaking of laws, we've got action both in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City, because, of course, newsman extraordinaire Sean Michael Lyle just came in and filled me in on something I wasn't aware of, how we've got bills that are very similar being introduced both in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City regarding TikTok. So I'm going to start with the one in D.C., because I find this a fascinating example of how something that seems similar is actually different. What do I mean? There was a dozen U.S. senators unveiled a bipartisan bill yesterday that would really essentially give the president, whether that's President Biden or any future president, the legal authority to ban any type of social media platform that raises national security risks. And the national security risks with TikTok are immense. They're truly immense. The ability for TikTok to get private information, location of where you are, track your location, get information that's on your phone like banking information, social security number, date of birth, where your banks are located, stocks and bonds, and all the information that you keep on our phone, TikTok potentially could be giving all of that information to the Chinese government. And there have been many states, including Missouri, that has banned any of TikTok from any devices that are state-owned or government-owned. But now in Washington, and I'll talk about the one in Jeff City in a moment, are going to that next step of saying, not only will we ban the use of TikTok on government-owned devices, but we want to empower the president to literally ban the platform if it amounts to a national security risk, which I think TikTok is a national security risk. So this is a bipartisan bill, and I couldn't find any indication as to whether the White House has indicated whether they will sign it or not, but it still has to get through the House, it has to get through the Senate. That still could be a long process. But as I was talking about this today with a friend of mine, he raised the point. He said, well, Brad, you're such a vocal proponent of free speech. And Brad, you have come out against all of the censorship that's occurred on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and elsewhere. How can you be for something like this? And I thought that was an interesting point, because I am a zealous free speech advocate, regardless of what that speech is, whether it's to the right or to the left or to the extremes on either side. I like the marketplace of ideas. But in this instance, how can you have that belief and yet be supporting of a ban on TikTok? But here's the difference, and this difference, I think, is significant. If you look at the censorship that's occurred on social media over the past 2 years, again, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, not TikTok, but Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and elsewhere, that type of censorship is content-based. In other words, if you were espousing the lab leak theory, you are kicked off because the left said that could not happen. And so we're going to kick you off for espousing an opinion that is contrary to our opinion. If you make a statement about masks and saying, well, I'm not sure that masks actually do anything. The coronavirus is smaller than the size of the mask, so doesn't that mean the coronavirus gets through the mask and isn't blocked by the mask? If you would have espoused that 2 years ago, again, you're kicked off of social media. But if you go on and say, well, I believe that schools should be shut down because of COVID. I believe that people should have forced vaccinations to prevent them from getting COVID. And I think that renters should be prevented from kicking people out of their homes, if they don't pay the rent because of COVID. All of those things proved to be false. Every single one of them. But if you said those things, you weren't censored on social media. So it was a content-based censorship. But what's going on right now with TikTok isn't content-based. It's not like the bill says, you know what, if you're doing a dance video to a Taylor Swift song, we're going to ban it. We're going to ban it because we hate Taylor Swift, and by golly, if you dance to a Taylor Swift song, you're out of here. We're going to ban that from TikTok. No, that's not going on. There's no content-based censorship that's being proposed. What's being proposed is that we can't allow a national security risk to be walking around on the devices that we carry in our pockets every single day. And so as long as it's not content-based, I don't see a First Amendment problem with that. Because you still have the freedom. You can still shoot some stupid video of you dancing to some song that nobody cares about, and you can still post it on YouTube. So it isn't as if your speech is being squelched. You still have that opportunity to express that idea. The only thing that's being prevented by banning TikTok is the stealing of your data and the transference of information to a foreign hostile government that could use it against you in particular and the United States in general. So I don't see it as being anywhere close to being the same thing when you talk about banning TikTok and preventing other social media platforms from conducting censorship that is based on the content of your speech. I don't see those as being the same in any way. And perhaps you disagree. I'm not sure that we have a lot of time for phone calls here, but if you'd like to text in, I will certainly like to hear your opinions on that. 314-436-7900. Now, I did get a couple of texts from Mary Lynn. Thank you, Mary Lynn, saying we should ban TikTok and China should pay for what they did. And I'm presuming by that, Mary Lynn, you're talking about pay for what they did with regard to letting COVID leak from the lab in Wuhan, China. I think they should, too. But I don't know of any legitimate legal mechanism for making China pay. Josh Hawley, I believe. It wasn't Josh Hawley. It's our current senator from Missouri who filed when he was the attorney general. He filed a lawsuit against China and tried to sue them through The Hague, I think. But that was doomed to fail because there's no way for one country to sue another in a circumstance like this. It's just not allowed. And I believe that was more done for political purposes than for legal purposes. But when I've had this conversation with my daughters, I've got three daughters, and when I've had this conversation with them about, because they all love TikTok, they all use it, they all watch their friends, and then they're going down the road and they're taking videos of themselves making stupid faces in the camera, and then they share it with all their friends. Okay, fine. You want to do that all day long? Fine. Knock yourself out. But when I tell them about the potential privacy issues with TikTok, they don't care. Because their attitude is, you know, listen, I got no money, I got no job. Who wants my data? But it's not about the content of your data. It's about the ability to take it. And that, to me, is what's concerning. So in Jefferson City, a similar bill is being filed today that would also allow the governor potentially to ban TikTok. I hope those are successful because your data is private and people shouldn't have it unless you allow it. And people who are using TikTok shouldn't have their data stolen. Hey, coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got the best of Dave Glover. I'll talk to you next week right here on Camo X, Brad Young.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.